Michal, very sad news reaching Kerry today, reaching, I suppose, every GFL all over the world, really, will be very sad to hear the state of the great John Egan.
They will. I had it, first of all, on the RTE News this morning. I couldn't believe it, really, because I knew John since he was a minor, way back in 1970. And even that time, you'd know he was a special player. He used to alternate between full forward and centre forward, and I often thought he made the changes himself. Any place he saw need, maybe that he'd be more useful, he went there. He was a brilliant player, and he had a great career. I think he played senior for the first time in 72, and he was there until 84. And I often said that if you needed one player, you know, the features of his play, to show them on video or something to young learners, John Egan would be the ideal man to take. You know, he had everything, I thought.
When you say he had everything, Michal, what had he? Describe to the listener exactly the type of player, because there's an awful lot of people never saw him playing.
Yeah, well, I would say, above all, he had a football brain and used it every time he went out onto the field. But you need more than that then. He had all the different attributes of a Gaelic football. He was a good catcher, especially a ball coming towards him, you know, head higher, a bit higher. A player behind him never got a ball off of John Egan. He had terrific balance, which is a great thing in any athlete. Rarely see him on the ground. And above all, he had all the types of kicks, the side of the boot, the follow-through kick, the turning kick, every type. Good man to pass a ball. He was a team player. He wasn't an individual player. He always played for the team, realised where everybody was, and a real, real perfect Gaelic footballer, I always thought.
As you said there, he had beautiful balance. He was like a belly dancer on the field. He was a big, strong man, not a tall man, but he had this unique style of being able to hold the ball away from his men when he was soaring past his men. He was unique.
Yes, and he was anticipating his next move. As he was catching the ball, he'd often be half-turned. There might be a faster man on him, but that little half-turn got him away, got him clear, either to go for his own score or lay it off to somebody who'd be in a slightly better position. He had a wonderful career. He was quiet. He didn't talk much about it. People say he was underrated, but the people that say it are people that knew he wasn't underrated. And almost anyone that would speak about John Egan, they'd pay him that tribute. He was underrated, but I say, you're still talking about him.
Everybody spoke about him, and everybody said John Egan was underrated, because
he was not by people that understood and knew football.
He was a very strong man on the field. He had a really, Michal, was he lacking anything?
I don't think he was lacking anything. And he had this, you know, when he moved out as a minor, and I often saw him do it, I saw him do it in Croke Park, move out from full forward, and maybe on the way out, a ball would be sent towards him. He'd have it, he was turned, he was gone, and a score would often come from it. He got key scores and crucial scores.
Would it be fair to say that he could dance around his men? He had a little shuffle and a little dance, and he was gone. The ball was in the back of the net. He had a beautiful style.
He had a style. You know, it would be very hard to get at him to shoulder him as well, because he wouldn't be in the position he was a split second before that. A gifted forward, it would be totally wrong to try John at any stage as a defender. I don't know whether he ever did for Sneem or anything, but he was a natural forward, and he gave me the impression as well that he enjoyed his football. He didn't believe in fouling or anything like that. He played the game, you know, in a way like Mick O'Connell used to play it. Play football, beat a player with skill, that type of thing, and he had tons and tons of skill, and followers of football everywhere admired. The number of people from outside Kerry that single out John Egan and talk about John Egan, you know, that's a tribute to John as
Michal,
well.
Michal, you've commentated on all the great games and all the great players over the decades. What one picture have you in your mind of John Egan, we'd say, in Croke Park or in the Munster final, in some instance? What stands out for you? What remains etched in your mind about him?
Well, I would say, you know, he got the crucial scores. And I would remember the 1978 final. I had broadcast the minor final as usual, but then I was maybe to do interviews during the game for RTE, and I was in the Kerry dugout. And Dublin had a good start. I think they led at one stage by 4 points. And 'twas coming after Dublin beating Kerry in an All-Ireland semi-final in 77, the final of 76. And the late Mort Galvin was sitting next to me. And I think when Dublin maybe kicked the fixed point, he said, it might be beginning to look like the old story. He was referring to the story of the previous 2 years. And the next thing, John Egan manufactured a goal. A long free, I think, taken by Mick Spillane down the field. John Egan with Paddy Cullen coming out. He got it over Paddy's head into the goal. That goal isn't spoken much about, but in a way, that was the first turning point in that game. Mikey Sheehy's famous goal came later. But John Egan's first goal, like many of the scores he got, you know, they were crucial. A goal or a score was needed at the time. Not for the first time, not the last time, John Egan was the man that got it.
He always regretted, Michal, any time I spoke to him or interviewed him. He did regret not being the winning captain in 82. People said that Matt was great after he won, that Matt Conlon got his All-Ireland, but it would have been great for Kerry to win to see John Egan captain in Kerry. Would that be fair?
It would indeed, and he would like to captain Kerry. You know, he was a snee man and he won all Kerry titles with South Kerry. He would love to bring the Sam Maguire to Snee, but it didn't happen, and he spoke once to me about it. You know, he didn't want to talk too much about it. He said, it looked we had won it, and the next thing, it was gone. But then John accepted that it was gone and there was nothing that could be done about it. Look forward to the next one. That was his attitude always.
Why, we've discussed the great football on the field. Off the field, Michal, I always found him very courteous, very obliging, very kind, gently spoken, never spoke badly about anyone. He was a real gentleman.
He was a gentleman, no matter where you met him. Very proud of his son, John, who's now with Sunderland, but could tell you a little story about him in a way. He was hospitalised in Dublin, I think 2010, for a while, out in Dún Laoghaire. And I used to go out to see him now and again. And Kilkenny were going for a 5 in a row. And I was sitting down in the corridor, we were talking, I don't know what we were talking about. And a lady swept around the corner. And she recognised me and she said to me, I'm from Kilkenny, will anything stop us? 5 in a row, she said. And seeing her attitude, I said, well, Cork are still in it, and they were at the time. Tipperary were still in it, Galway were in it. And then that made no impression. And then she said to me, would your friend, she didn't recognise John, he was 25 years out of football, she was a youngish lady, didn't recognise him, would your friend have an opinion? And the friend spoke up with wise words. He said, did you ever, ma'am, hear the story or the saying, there's many a slip between cup and lip? And then I interjected and told her who this friend was, that he was a man that held 5 All-Ireland medals, that he was captain of Kerry when they were going for 5 in a row, and those words would apply to him and to Kerry as much as they apply to Kilkenny later. There is many a slip, there was a slip. And once I told him who this friend was, she went away, I think, doing a little bit of thinking for the first time that day.
Finally, Michal, if I was picking my best ever Kerry 15 since 1955, you can go back way further than me, I would have John Egan on it. That's how I'd rate him. How would you rate him?
Well, I would say I would have him on it, but I'd be leaving out great players. There are so many.
But would you leave out those players to put him on?
Well, we'd have to discuss that more. I would say I would. You couldn't be unhappy about anything if John Egan was on your team. You feel that position is well looked after.
Something very sad, Michal, and very final about a great Kerry footballer passing away, like Tim Kennelly now there and Liam Higgins, and now we have this. There's something,
yes.
Isn't there something? What is it about it?
And I'm going to the funeral now of another Kerry footballer, Dermot Hannafin. He played in the early 50s, was on the Castle Island team that won the only county championship they ever won in 1950. He was midfield for Kerry in the All-Ireland final of 1953 against Armagh. He was a few years ahead of me in Colashta, Isagon, long ago, and I knew him over all those years, a fantastic player. And his son, Dermot Ogg, I suppose we should call him. He played for Kerry in the 80s as well, and his funeral is on. Isn't it strange, with maybe 25 years of a gap between them, two generations, or maybe linking two generations with a generation in between as well of Kerry footballers. Dermot O'Hanafain, I always knew him as Dermot O'Hanafain, and I suppose my first commentaries in John Egan would be Sean McEgan, Oscar Ailge, Erin Telefish, Minuri and Iblian and Edig Ashachta. Both of them have gone er yesterday or ever nanam naka.
Mihal, Garamahagot, I always love to talk to you.
Falter Othwishi.